5:07 in the third quarter. Dropping. It's a blitz. Blake scrambles away from it. Rolling to his right. Looking into the end zone. Looking. Fires it into the end zone. No side. Touchdown. There's now a touchdown. That's Allen Robinson. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles fires to the middle of the field. Caught by Allen Robinson. That's a first down. He hit A-Rob in the middle of the field inside the 20-yard line. Got it down to the 18-yard line. First down, Jacksonville.
Now I can say it with confidence. That one takes Allen Robinson over 1,000 yards receiving. Congratulations, A-Rob.
You know what you do when Allen Hurns is hurt? Go to A-Rob more.
First and goal, Jags from the 8-yard line. Shotgun for Bortles. Rolling to the right. Blake looks. Pump fake. Looks. Got away from a defender. Fires into the end zone. Diving attempt by Allen Robinson. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles to A-Rob for the score.
He is an absolute monster.
Second down and goal, Jags from the 7-yard line. They trail 42-32. Dropping. Looking. It's a blitz. Throws to the middle of the field. That is caught for the touchdown. Allen Robinson, a 7-yard touchdown catch from Blake Bortles, and the Jags are battling back.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
All right, welcome in everybody. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars Today on this Thursday morning, live at Everbank on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Allen Robinson. I'm sure we were all, I don't need to tell you guys, I'm sure you guys were locked in on the riveting Pro Bowl draft last night.
I wasn't, and I didn't find out until this morning, courtesy of one hacker, that he ended up on Team Irvin. It doesn't surprise me.
You're just breaking that news to me. I still had no idea.
I read it this morning, and it doesn't surprise you that he's on Team Irvin. He was the fourth receiver Team Irvin selected. So as much as he professes to love Allen Robinson, he doesn't love him over the rest of the Pro Bowl core of wide receivers.
I didn't watch it.
I didn't either.
Didn't follow it.
Didn't either.
Didn't care.
Didn't either.
Nope.
But I care in the sense that Jaguar fans care that Allen Robinson is a Pro Bowler. You know, that from that sense, I care.
I'll care a little on Sunday.
I'm caring on their behalf.
Yeah.
Here, okay.
We're going to watch what Allen Robinson does on Sunday. But
right.
For what team he's doing it for, I
Team Rice, Team Irvin. I mean, do these go down historically?
He's the fourth wide receiver for that team. Where was he selected? Like, what round was
he? He went in the 11th round. See, what they did, though, and I didn't know any of this because,
I saw an article this morning that said, like, Russell and Eli were the top two picks. I was like, oh.
Well, what happened was they split like, all the specialists. Like, they divided up, like, left tackle, so everybody had an even amount to play with, right?
Right.
Like, everyone has centers on their team. Everyone has a kicker. And so they did that ahead of time. They didn't draft those guys.
They didn't want us watching them draft left guards, right?
So then
Team Irvin has five centers.
Right. It was a strategy, though, because he feels like Team Rice is
going
to be able to exploit him up the middle. And then they picked captains, Tony. So when I guess – whatever team it was, Irvin's team went with Russell Wilson. Odell Beckham was one of the captains for Jerry Rice's team. I think that's how it worked. And he said, basically, come on, man, Eli, come on, Eli. And he basically goaded him to taking his quarterback, and that's how that went down. So you can see how serious this process is at this point. I just want to know which team picked first, because Allen Robinson and T.Y. Hilton both went in the 11th round of this draft after all these guys had already been handed out. And so one of them was the last receiver taken. I hope it was T.Y. Hilton.
What was wrong with the NFC versus AFC?
Nothing. Well, yeah. What's wrong? Here's the thing. The Pro Bowl gets TV ratings. People watch the Pro Bowl.
This is why they have it.
We always complain about it. It's terrible football, but people watch it because, you don't have anything else, right? It's either the week before and the championship games are not being played, or it's the week after and you're saying, let me hang on to the season for one more week. So people watch the game. The competition is terrible, but for whatever reason, people tune in for it, so they're going to continue to have it. So in that vein, Ryan, I don't know what could – they got tired, I guess, of the broadcast being just awful patty cake football.
Well, and I think part of it was maybe you felt like there was a predominant amount of great players in one conference versus the other at a position, and instead of being able to balance it out and say, well, these are the five best wide receivers in football, why should this one have to stay home because he happens to be in this conference too? They said, look, let's not make it conferences anymore. Let's try to get the best players elected to the Pro Bowl, which I don't know how good a job of that they're still doing, but instead of doing it that way, and then you had to figure out some cockamamie idea for basically how to put it on the field. If you're not going to make it AFC NFC anymore, then what do we do? And they came up with this really lame draft.
People think, because, I guess they think, well, people love fantasy football. What's the best part of that? Drafting. Everybody loves the draft. This will be like the ultimate fantasy football, but nobody really cares, you know. So, you know, I'll watch it if we happen to be in front of a TV on Sunday. I'll say, oh, yeah, the Pro Bowl's on. And that'll be about the extent of it. And I would like to see Allen Robinson do well, stay healthy primarily, and then do well secondly, and draw some positive attention for the folks here in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But beyond that, what's the fallout of that? I don't know, Tony.
Nothing. By the way, according to Irish Jaguar over there across the pond, A-Rob was picked by Irvin. T.Y. was assigned to Rice as the last receiver remaining.
Oh, yeah. Poor T.Y. Well, at least we got that going for us, right? You don't want to be like, all right, I showed up, and here you go. You're on that team by default. So I guess that's a feather in his cap. I guess one person was watching from across the pond. What time was that on in Ireland last night, by the way? Like 1 in the morning or something like that? I had no idea what time it was on last night.
Was it 7 or 8?
Okay, sure, why not? So that's pretty much going to close the Pro Bowl discussion portion of the broadcast today. Hayes Carline, your colleague from the Florida Times Union, will join us in about 25 minutes live from Mobile as he's been covering the Senior Bowl. We'll get another pair of eyes, another Road Scouts pair of eyes on what's been transpiring with the Jaguars coaching staff and all that. Ryan, we'll get your thoughts now that everything's official. We knew which way it was headed last week when we spoke with you, but Todd Wash, officially the defensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Gus Bradley officially gets the extension that we had talked about, was kind of out there in the wind a little bit, so we'll get your thoughts on that coming up as well. The question of the day today for folks out there is this. We've got the State of the Franchise press conference tomorrow for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, and company will unveil where things stand with the franchise financially, on the field, everything, you know, moving forward, all the plans for the offseason, and we will plan to broadcast that live at 11 a.m. tomorrow right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM, at least a good portion of that. So our question to you today is, what are you most looking forward to hearing about? Not necessarily hearing specifically, but hearing about. Is it one of the building projects that they've got going on? Is it you know, something to do with the club section or whatever the case may be? What are you looking forward to hearing about in the State of the Franchise press conference tomorrow from Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, and company?
Desired 2016 win total.
Do you think he'll put a number? I won't put a number on it, will he? But that's what I'd like to hear.
That's what I'd like to hear.
Right? Is it 10? I could go with 10. Desired would be 16, I suppose.
Acceptable.
Right, exactly. Minimum acceptable level of wins. I don't think we'll pin Shad Khan down on that one tomorrow.
Probably not.
Is my guess. He's Ryan O'Halloran. I'm Mike Dempsey along with Fat Tony. You can tweet us at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at MD_1010XL. Tweet us at those numbers. Did I say text? I'm not sure if I did or not. You can text us at 641-1010, 904-641-1010 on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Also the phone-in line as well. And we will keep the Jaguars Today Facebook page open for business for the next couple hours as well. We'll get into Ryan's thoughts on Todd Wash, Gus Bradley's extension, and more. That's coming up next on a Thursday morning edition of Jaguars Today. We're live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, major announcement for Jaguars Today. Joe Fortunato has entered the broadcast room. He's hard at work behind the scenes, making sure Jaguars Today sounds as good as it possibly can, which is quite a task, I understand, with the lineup that we have today. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today. State of the Franchise press conference tomorrow, just about 24 hours away from now, 11 a.m. tomorrow. We'll endeavor to bring that to you live here on 1010XL, at least the majority of it, a good portion of the early part. If it gets down to a Q&A, a lot of times they do that off the mic anyway, kind of off to the side. So, you know, get the gist of the presentation, which sometimes plays on radio, sometimes doesn't, because Mark Lamping is a fan of the overhead projector. Kind of
PowerPoint,
you know, the PowerPoint deal. Yeah. I was looking for that word. He doesn't quite use an overhead projector, does he?
Old school.
That was old school.
I think almost everything Mark says is playable because he's basically talking about everything you're seeing.
Right, you see it in the details. Yeah. We're looking at a chart of such and such, and
if you guys can endeavor to put it on, it'll be interesting.
We are endeavoring.
We
are endeavoring to do it. So we'll hopefully be locked in with that. So today, if you want to weigh in with what you are most looking forward to for hearing from tomorrow's press conference, you're certainly welcome to do that. We'll get to the phone lines momentarily. Tyler Devitt has categorized this one as perhaps the hottest take ever to come in on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line.
I would refer to it as something else, but go ahead.
You were hanging on right until the very end. You wonder, is this just trolling to see if this gets read on the air? Perhaps, but I'll play along.
Yeah, not hot, maybe steaming.
Steaming pile of something. I don't understand, says the text, why you guys think Fowler is going to help. He's basically a rookie still. And now he's got knee problems. Cut ties.
Did that text end with A Branch Southside?
C Clemens. No.
Georgia.
It did not. But although it you know what? I'm going to check the reverse phone number lookup and see if that's the case. All right, look, if you want to say, I'm not expecting much from Dante Fowler because, A, he's going to be basically a rookie who hasn't played football in a couple of years by the time they suit up, and, B, he's going to be coming off a significant injury, that's fine. That's a reasonable take to have. Cut ties? What in the world? So the guy missed his rookie season due to injury. You better cut him because you have so many other good options. Honestly, the lunacy of something like that.
We got to laugh at it during the break, and we got to laugh at it again. So thank you for the text.
I guess, right? There goes 1 minute of the programming solved.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully he's the player they drafted him to be still. We don't know. We don't know what it's going to look like for Dante Fowler in the NFL, but last year they thought he was the best pass rusher in the draft. And for a team that desperately needs pass rush, they got the guy that they thought was best at it last year in the NFL draft. Yeah, he's coming off a knee injury, and maybe his career gets completely derailed by it. We don't know.
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he comes back and look at Thomas Davis. I know it's a different position, but he's had three ACLs, and he's been playing like a Pro Bowler the last few years for the Carolina Panthers. So who knows how he plays, but cut ties. I mean, this is worse than some of the ones we got. And I get it. People speak out of frustration, but people throughout the season, Tony, were tweeting us and texting us saying, get rid of Marquise Lee. He can't stay healthy.
Right.
Well, he hasn't stayed healthy. It doesn't mean he won't stay healthy. Why in the world would you get rid of a potential very good player who's on a rookie deal, not making much money at all against your salary cap? I mean, other than to make yourself feel good for about 60 seconds. And at the first second of the second minute, you realize, oh, crap, what did I do?
Yeah, it's, you know. If you cut a guy, that means you've exhausted every ounce of patience you have and every ounce of effort you've had.
Sure.
They're not even close. They're not there on Lee.
They'd laugh in your face if you suggested that. I mean, on a guy like Dante Fowler, certainly. And in the middle of his second season, are they frustrated with Marquise Lee? Probably so.
They were encouraged by the last month and a half because he was able to get through the rest of the season. And you know, now I think the challenge for Marquise is to get through the offseason healthy and not miss all that time. But also, he has to carve out a niche because right now he is very low on the totem pole of options in the passing game behind Robinson, Hearns, Julius, and I would say in the red zone, Rashad Green.
Right, at least at best on even footing with Rashad Green right now. So I'm with you on that. Yeah, he's for him to make a mark, he's going to have to hurry up and really show something. But for the Jags, that's not the worst thing in the world. You've got now a couple guys you feel like are almost established in the Allens, right, at the wide receiver spot. And maybe having a little more pressure on Marquise Lee won't be a bad thing, right? So, all right, 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board today. And you can also send ridiculous thoughts to the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line as well. Let's go to Bud in Arlington, who's got a question for Ryan O'Halloran to start things off. Good morning, Bud. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. Thanks for letting me on.
All right. What's up?
I've got the Senior Bowl. I'd like to know if Ryan could possibly get the roster in the paper for this coming weekend so I can play GM and see what happens. I'd like to know if he could possibly do that. I'll take it off the air.
All right, Ryan, can you possibly help Bud out?
We probably won't run it in the paper because it's an ever-changing roster. But if you get online at SeniorBowl.com, they update the rosters each day for the North and the South, and that's what I check every morning because they are adding and subtracting players. And that would be my best suggestion at this point.
Yes, perhaps, I don't know, maybe Bud is not online or something. It made me think he might not be. But whatever the case, that's the solution that the TU would suggest for you.
So, Ryan, does that mean guys are coming and going daily from the Senior Bowl?
Yes, because they had a couple guys with hamstring injuries on Tuesday, and yesterday morning they added guys. So the couple times I've covered it, there are guys coming in as late as today, and they just try and give them like 10 or 12 plays to learn. So it's because what you're going to see happen is today and tomorrow you're going to see guys pull up because their agents are saying, okay, you had a couple practices. We don't want to risk it in the game.
And the practices are really where you get a chance to shine because a lot of the decision makers – and the evaluators will leave town before the game on Saturday.
And I remember last year on Thursday, me and Hayes were up in the press box watching practice, and Phil Savage came in, and there was probably 20, 25 scouts and personnel guys, and Phil said to them, hey, when you talk to these kids tonight, urge them to play because we're down bodies right now.
Right.
Say, hey, you can help yourself by playing in the game. So, yeah, it's a lot of politics going on this week.
Right, which, you know, it's an interesting dynamic because you don't get to see these guys go against each other like this at any other point now in the process, right? You'll have the combine, but you're going up, you're doing drills against, you know, guys holding a pad if you're an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. To see these guys have one-on-one pass rush drills, this is the last kind of opportunity. And maybe one of the only opportunities you'll ever see outside of actual game film to see some of the top guys match up. If they happen to match up in a game, that's fantastic. But the top senior prospects, at left tackle and defensive end, you want to see those guys in one-on-one type situations.
And I've always bought the theory that in the Senior Bowl and the Combine, by participating, you really don't hurt your stock as much as you help it, because these teams they want to see a guy who has want to. They want to see guys who want to compete. And let's say Blake Bortles, I think, turned the worm on quarterbacks throwing and running at the Combine would be 3 years, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Because he sort of broke that mold. And last year, Jameis and Mariota both threw and ran. So all these teams want to see, okay, do you want to test yourself? Do you want to compete? And, you know, to me, that's why these guys are there, is to, you know, improve their stock.
Right. Technically 2 years ago, because we are in 2016. Close enough.
That's right. He's a second-year player.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy? It's funny. We were talking about Aaron Donald a little bit earlier, so I was looking up the guys who went ahead of him in the 2014 draft. Really, the two teams really screwed up their pick compared to maybe should have taken Aaron Donald. One was the Rams. Well, they're the ones who got lucky because they had two first-round picks, and he fell to them with their second one anyway. And you'd feel a lot better about Greg Robinson and Aaron Donald. Hey, you drafted Aaron Donald second overall, and you waited on Greg Robinson. Of course, they felt like Robinson, you know, was going to be a coveted guy, and he may have been, and he came off the board. But yeah, Clowney go number one. I mean, obviously, you know, hindsight's perfect, but you understand why they took Clowney. Robinson went to St. Louis. The Jags took Bortles. Sammy Watkins went to Buffalo. He's proven to be a playmaker when healthy. Khalil Mack, despite the small school tag that some gave him, Tony.
Let's address Khalil Mack here for a second. The fact that he was voted All-Pro at two different spots, to me, it's asinine. That's all these voters saying, I want to be different. I mean, I would have voted him as a defensive end.
Understood.
He's a pass rusher. But
he's deserving of an All-Pro nod. But it's question, right, pick a spot.
Because technically, he only played half the snaps at each position. Then he shouldn't have been an All-Pro.
Well, I mean, that's...
But to get his work sample melded together is all pro.
Right.
Pick one, guys. Don't try it, you know, because all these idiots, these national writers, all they want to do is, oh, I've voted him for two spots. I'm the history maker. Shut up.
All right. Ryan doesn't like that. Nevertheless, he's a two-time All-Pro candidate based on just this year. Jake Matthews went to the Falcons at six, right?
Yes,
he's been just okay, right? Yeah. I mean, the Falcons.
He's basically Jokel.
Mike Evans went to the Bucs and certainly had a big rookie year, had a lot of drops this year, but thought highly of. Really, the pick that was blown in the top 10 was Justin Gilbert by the Cleveland Browns. I mean,
Cleveland, I mean, you look at Oklahoma State guys named Justin, just avoid it.
Apparently a trend is developing, but he has been terrible. I mean, he's been absolutely terrible. No,
he couldn't get on the field.
No, you're right.
He's eligible to play.
And pretty much anyone else that went in the first round that year would have been a better selection for the Cleveland Browns. Anthony Barr is a Pro Bowler now for the Minnesota Vikings. Hard to say he was a bad pick. Detroit, I believe at the time, was still – well, they still had Sue – and they were seen as loaded at defensive tackle.
Still
right?
Fairly.
And they went with Eric Ebron in that circumstance, who started to show some signs this year. Taylor Lewan, the offensive tackle for Tennessee, and then Odell Beckham Jr., hard to argue against him. All those guys, though, went ahead of Aaron Donald. He certainly would have fit better in front of three or four of those in hindsight now, maybe more.
I mean, how much Houston screwed up that draft – not only at the top, but also at the top of the second.
Right.
Because they pass on Bortles at one.
Do you remember who they took in the second round?
Xavier Suafilo.
Suafilo, yeah. You got it.
Yeah, who was able to finally start a game or two this year. Okay, the Clowney thing, nobody was bashing him for it. I always would take the quarterback. But then you get to the second day, you have all day to think about that. Derek Carr is still on the board.
You know, we're going to take a car.
We're going to take a car. Well, have fun with that.
That really is what it came down to.
Which is, I think Derek was a pretty strong guy. He would have been able to handle
it. You wonder if Bridgewater doesn't go with the 32nd pick, is he a Houston Texan now?
I would doubt it because there have been a lot of quarterbacks for O'Brien to take these 2 years, and nobody's good enough for him. So he would have found some kind of flaw with Bridgewater.
Maybe, but at some point they would have had to, they're going to have to take a quarterback. And regardless, Carr ended up last into the 36th pick. All right, we'll take a timeout right here. We'll come back. Hayes Carline is live in Mobile. We'll get the latest from the South Senior Bowl practices that he's been following along with the Jaguars coaching staff there in attendance. So Hayes joins us next from the Florida Times Union. Again, the question of the day, what are you most looking forward to hearing about during the Jaguars State of the Franchise press conference tomorrow? Tweet us at any of our Twitter handles or post your thoughts on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well, or text us on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at 641-1010. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars Today continues on this Thursday morning. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Meanwhile, some of Jacksonville's finest have made the trip to Mobile, and Hayes Carline is there as well from the Florida Times Union. See what I did there, Ryan? You like that? Hayes is on the ground reporting for the Florida Times Union and joining us here on Jaguars Today. What's up, Hayes? How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. Are you guys playing a little Alice in Chains there? I like that.
You like that? Well, O'Halloran doesn't react unless it's Timberlake. I don't know if you know that about him. I'm serious.
I have heard that before, yeah. I always enjoy listening to you guys.
Well, thank you. You're the one. He brightens up every time JT comes on the air. Hayes, the word seems to be, at least for the South team, that the defensive line prospects are dominating. I guess I hear that about the North as well. Are you, just because of the Jaguars coaching staff, first off, are you following the South team or are you attending all practices? How are you covering it?
Yeah, I've attended all of them, and it's. I would agree with that. The defensive lines have been impressive. Obviously, for the team that we focus on, I haven't watched a ton of running backs, receivers. It's been very much the binoculars have been zeroed in on the pass rushers, the defensive backs, guys like that, linebackers, because we know that's where the Jaguars are going to, focus this draft on, 8 picks, and I think we all think, at least 6 of them will probably be defensive players.
I was watching yesterday's practice, Hayes, and quite frankly, it was unwatchable. The Dallas practice looked like they knew what they're doing. The Jaguar practice didn't really have any rhythm or flow to it. Does it look like these coaches are handling it a little – do you look like Gus is handling this event a little differently this year?
It does kind of seem like there's a sense of – that there's some holding back. It's funny in the sense that obviously, you've been down here and you get a sense of – comparing the years, and there wasn't as much I didn't think with the Jaguars there wasn't as much really one-on-ones going against each other that you saw with the Dallas practice yesterday. So, I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning for that is. I can only imagine how unwatchable it was on TV. Because for the first about hour of the Jaguars, South practice yesterday, I mean, it was sort of like, okay, are we ever going to see, it was drills that to me don't really tell you a whole lot, in this sort of an atmosphere. I want to see, a receiver from Illinois going up against a corner from Virginia kind of thing. And that's not what we were getting a lot of the time. And there wasn't a whole lot of team either. So we'll see if that changes up to date at all as they get closer to the game. But there definitely didn't seem to be the amount that we're used to.
I know everyone can tell around the country just based on what's being written, what's being shown, that Noah Spence has been a star through the first couple of days of practice out there. But outside of Spence, is there anybody else that has caught your eye among those pass rushers?
Yeah, the kid out of Virginia Tech I like, Daddy Nicholas. He's maybe a little undersized, for the spot, but I do like his bend. Spence has been impressive. It was interesting talking to him. You can see his physique. His thighs look like a pass rusher in the NFL size. I mean, he is an impressive looking kid and has really unique bend. I was really impressed by how he was able to get around the edge yesterday. I'm actually writing about him for tomorrow's paper. But it's been, and really the defensive tackles, guys like Sheldon Rankins out of Louisville has shown a nice, wiggle inside. I like the Ohio State kid, Washington, has really done a good job too. So, I think you can see pass rush, kind of all over the place. And, it's going to be interesting. I would not be surprised if the Jaguars' second round pick is here in Mobile this week.
Well, among those defensive linemen, obviously, I think is what you're talking about, right?
I think if they don't take Jalen Ramsey in the first round, then certainly a defensive back, that could be here this week as well. But yeah, I think gotcha. We all expect that Ramsey will be the first round choice. So if you go defensive back with the first round choice, chances are you're taking a Leo or maybe a three technique. With that second round selection. So, but there's some guys that, if they were to trade down, I think Reggie Ragland would make a lot of sense for them. I've loved what he's done this week. Reed, the defensive tackle out of Alabama as well, has been impressive. So if they elected to trade down, let's say the Rams wanted to come up to get a quarterback or, something, a team like that, and they drop to that, middle of the first round area, then I do think their first round pick could be here this week, but chances are they'll stay at five. I think they'll take Ramsey, and then, in the second round they'll either take a lineman or, tackle or an end. And I think, like I said, I think there's a good chance that player's here.
Hey, it's Carl Wyand of the Florida Times Union here with us live from Mobile for Senior Bowl coverage. Obviously, the thing with Noah Spence, Hayes, was, he was an Ohio State guy. He was playing against top competition. And as the reporting goes, he tested positive twice, at least twice, for ecstasy. And that's why he got kicked out, not only of Ohio State, but Big Ten play, trying to resurrect his career, at Eastern Kentucky. What are you hearing among just the chatter on the sidelines, if you're picking up anything, as to the concerns continuing off the field for Spence, or do people feel like maybe he's moved beyond that at this point?
I think they're encouraged. He's done the thing that you have to do, which is he's owned it, and he's had a year, really more, to get his life back in order. So, he admits his mistakes, and he's been drug tested and passed, a slew of them, since leaving Ohio State. So, yeah, I do think that that it maybe won't be as big of a flag for some teams as it would be if he was making excuses and so forth. But no, it seems like he's gotten his life back on track. He comes across well, and when I talked to him, he said, I knew I was going to have to come here, tell the truth, and just lay it out on the line, and hope people believe that I've learned from it, because I have. So we'll see. He's a guy that if he was there, I don't think he'll be there. But if he was there in the second round, that's one of those where I'm doing cartwheels to the podium.
Another guy you're writing about for tomorrow's my guy, fellow North Dakotan, Carson Wentz, the North Dakota State quarterback. You know, you hear a lot of chatter about best quarterback in the draft, top five. That's unprecedented for a non-power conference quarterback. I don't think that's going to happen. But when ultimately the first round of this draft starts, where would you consider drafting him, and who would be some of those teams that would be willing to take him?
Yeah, I don't see him becoming the best quarterback in this draft. I think he's getting too much credit for the five consecutive national championships. I mean, that's mm-hmm. great, but when you look at his resume, he really didn't have much of a factor early in his career. Obviously, he was the full-time starter as a junior, and then this past season missed about half the year with a broken wrist. So,
some people think he's been there when Gus Bradley was the coach there. For God's sake.
Some people, he's been there 20 years, but I do think the whole he's a winner thing, I think that's way overblown, and I am a little concerned about just the number of starts that he has. Because he really only has about a year and a half worth of starts. But when you're looking at physical ability, I mean, there's eight quarterbacks here. To me, he's clearly the best. I mean, best arm, best release, most accurate, moves well, he's got the size. So I can see how when scouts see him, you know, that they can visualize a team, you know, taking him in the top five. I like Paxton Lynch. I still think he's a kid that, you know, maybe could spike a little bit as the process continues to go. Obviously, California's Jared Goff is kind of who everyone thinks the Browns are going to take it to, if you look at, you know, the mock drafts that are out there. So, we'll see. I think as far as who could take him, I still think San Francisco's taking a quarterback. No one else does, but you can't convince me that Chip Kelly and Colin Kaepernick is going to be a thing. And I think, I know Chip Kelly's not making the decision, but I don't get the sense that the 49ers are overly enamored with Colin Kaepernick. And if you're sitting there at seven, you know, and a guy like Wentz or Lynch is there, you know, then I think that could be a spot. So, you know, you're probably looking at Goff to the Browns. I don't see Dallas. You know, Jerry Jones said yesterday that, you know, whether this is gamesmanship or not, he said, you know, we're not really in the market for a quarterback. It would make sense in the aspect that Dallas probably isn't going to be in the top five again for a while, so this is a good time to do it and get a guy that can sort of learn behind Romo. But, yeah, I think maybe if I had to say, I'd say maybe San Francisco for Wentz, maybe St. Louis, who I think is around 14, something like that.
Hey, did you mention Reggie Ragland?
Los Angeles. I still have to remember
get it straight. Too.
You mentioned Ragland a few moments ago, Hayes, and obviously that's a guy that unless the Jags do move down in the first round, probably aren't going to have a shot at that type of guy in the second round. But another guy who plays the same position in Jordan Jenkins coming out of Georgia is being talked about as potentially a guy that may be available at the top of the second round if the Jags were looking to bring in somebody at that linebacker position. How is Jenkins compared to Ragland here through this week?
Not good, but that's unfair because to me Ragland's been head and shoulders the best linebacker out here. But I'll give you a guy that could be worth watching is Missouri's Kentrell Brothers. I really like this guy's agility and the way he moves. He was a big-time performer in the SEC, and obviously Jenkins was as well. But if you're looking for a later-round guy, you know, and Brothers could be a second-round pick, but if you're looking for a guy, you know, beyond Ragland, he's a guy to sort of keep an eye on as the draft process unfolds. I've liked what I've seen out of him.
How has Antonio Morrison, the former Gator, looked to you?
I haven't seen him do a whole lot that's really stood out to me at this point. So I'd say it's been, sort of an average week. But, you know, he's the biggest thing is he's finishing the week. You know, he's staying healthy. His teammate, Jake McGee, only lasted, not even through one practice before he had to remove himself with a hamstring injury. So, I haven't really seen anything from Morrison. And that some of this is unfair because it's like, you know, there's seven or eight different things going on at once. So you're trying to focus in on what you're focusing in on. So when I write or say, you know, well, hey, I haven't seen anything from this kid, that doesn't necessarily mean they're having a bad week. It just may be that I wasn't looking at the right spot when they made a great play. So you sort of always have to throw that you know, caveat out there that there's things going on the field that you can't keep up with 100% of the time.
Hayes, want to circle back. You were at Todd Wash's press conference last Friday. You asked him about free safety. Would you take away from his thoughts on that position, and also what were your takeaways on what you think his philosophy is going to be?
I think it's going to be an improvement. As far as the free safety, I don't see a whole lot here that jumps out to me. I like the Cash kid out of Duke, and he'll be somebody that is in tomorrow's paper. But he's more of a strong, although Gus did single him out yesterday for making a play middle of the field to the sideline. But I still think he projects as a strong. The kid out of Boise State has done some good things. Darian Thompson, but again, how much the Jaguars are really able to work with him, you know, with him being on the North roster. So, you know, free safety is still, you know, I think tough. That's why I think a guy like Jalen Ramsey is really attractive because of, you know, perhaps that ability to move around a little bit, give you some help there, if not, you know, man the position. And then, I think Wash is a play caller, you know, it has to be an improvement because I just don't think there was much with Babbage.
Mm-hmm. All right, Hayes, as we get ready to wrap up here. What?
I gave him a little bit there about Bullet Bob, and he delivered.
He took it.
The positive for Todd Wash, you're hired. B, you can't do worse.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's a good way to look at it if you come in at rock bottom. Hayes, what are you writing about over the next couple of days?
Well, the main tomorrow will be on Carson Wentz and really his connection with Gus Bradley. It's a unique one because obviously the Jaguars have Blake Bortles. They're set for the next decade, we think. They're certainly set for this draft. So they're not looking at, you know, taking a big-time quarterback, which gives Gus the freedom to sort of become a resource for Wentz in this process. Obviously, he's going to endure scrutiny over the next 3 months. And it's nice, I think, for him to have that connection, that North Dakota State connection, you know, that his Ryan mission goes back, you know, apparently 20 years. But to have that resource and you know how Gus is. I mean, he obviously is dying to help the kid. So it's going to be sort of on Wentz's road to get here, what he's shown this week and his connection with the Jaguars coach. And then we'll have, notes focusing on Spence, Cash, Raglan, and sort of looking more at the defensive side of the ball, since that's obviously what the Jaguars are really prioritizing this week.
All right, Hayes Carline on Twitter, simply at Hayes Carline, HaysCarlyon. But you probably already knew that if you're a Jag fan. Hayes, appreciate it, man. We'll look forward to hopefully catching up with you sometime between now and the opening of free agency to kind of review last year and look ahead to 2016.
Sounds great, guys. Enjoyed it. Take care.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Hayes Carline from the Florida Times-Union live in Mobile with Senior Bowl coverage ongoing. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hower, and Fat Tony here with you. We'll take a timeout, come back. This Dayton football and the Honda drive around the NFL straight ahead on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, let's take a look at this date in football history. January 28th through the years 1922, the American Pro Football Association renamed itself. You know what they came up with? The National Football League. That's right, the NFL was not born on this date, but the name National Football League was adhered to the previously named American Pro Football Association. 1960, on this date, the NFL announced the entrance of the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings franchises. The Cowboys would play beginning play that year in 1960. Minnesota would start 1 year later. On this date in 1990, Super Bowl 24, if I'm doing the Roman numeral thing correctly here, San Francisco 49ers beat the Denver Broncos 55-10 in that one. Joe Montana, Super Bowl MVP, throwing for 297 with 5 touchdowns against no interceptions. 1996, Super Bowl 30, the Dallas Cowboys beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 27-17. Who was the Super Bowl MVP that year?
Larry Brown.
Larry Brown, 2 interceptions in the second half of that one, helped seal the victory for the Cowboys. 2001, the Ravens beat the Giants 34-17. The Super Bowl MVP was Ray Lewis. How many combined tackles, solos, and assists did Ray Lewis pile up in that Super Bowl?
Four.
Tony?
13?
Five. He had five tackles and he was Super Bowl MVP.
It was a weird game.
Huh?
Do you have an interception?
No, I think he had some passes defensed in the game, though. Jamal Lewis carried over 20 times for over 100 yards and a touchdown.
I think he forced the interception. He forced the fumble on Tiki Barber, and I think he may have hit somebody else where a ball got deflected and wound up with an interception.
Well, I'm sure Peter King had, you know, he made a lot of game-changing plays, and, you know, he didn't kill that man last year.
And he didn't
kill that man. I have to vote for him.
Well, he also, he didn't do the, like, post-game I'm going to Disney World because they didn't want to put Ray Lewis on TV.
They didn't want to have a potential murderer be their spokesperson.
Yeah.
Well,
I can see that being the case.
20 years later, the Disney company gives him millions of dollars to try and reinvent the English language.
And it all came full circle right there on this date in football. History, ladies and gentlemen. Famous birthdays for this date. 1977, still the best quarterback to come out of UCF. For now, Dante Culpepper. I think that's fair to say. Dante Culpepper's peak season he threw for 4,700 yards was a runner-up to Peyton Manning in the MVP voting that year. Led the league in touchdown passes in his second year. So some similar numbers, a three-time Pro Bowler, similar numbers to what Blake Bortles has been able to do in his first couple of years here in Jacksonville. He turns 39 today, does Dante. And Steven Gostkowski, he of the missed extra point for the New England Patriots. For shame, for shame. Three-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro, turned 32 years old today. You better cut him. He's old. Let's get a new kicker in there in New England. I doubt they're going to do that. Gostkowski, among the best in the league. And that is this date in football. Here we go.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
According to the Pewter Report, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and running back Doug Martin have begun contract negotiations. Martin, who rushed for over 1,400 yards this season, is set to become a free agent in March with the Bucs. The Miami Dolphins are reportedly planning on exercising an option in last year's free agent prize acquisition in Ndamukong Suh's contract that will allow them to convert the $23.485 million base salary. $23.485 million base salary for the upcoming 2016 season into a bonus to help with the salary cap and save the team $18 million on that cap. Miami is one of three teams that are currently projected to be over the salary cap for the upcoming year. In case you're curious, now the Buffalo Bills and New Orleans Saints, the other two teams.
You got to work hard in today's NFL to be, you know, projected to be over the salary cap at any point.
$23.485 million doesn't help.
It doesn't. Well, and especially when last year his salary, Tony, as we saw yesterday, was just under $1 million, right, for the year. Now, obviously, you get other bonuses that tie in. Doesn't mean his cap hit was $985,000. I think that's what the salary was last year, but they got to spread that out. But based on the way he played this year, I mean, he was okay, but he wasn't any force of nature in there. The cap hit's not going to get any easier to manage going forward because whatever his cap hit was next year, if you give him a roster bonus this year and or however you do it and you spread it out over the remaining years, well, that number's only going to rise. And another just kind of season out of him? I mean, could Ndamukong Suh be two and done in Miami? I don't think it's out of the question.
I would almost expect it to be.
Right? I mean, if he's going to give another year this year at the pay scale that he's going to be making this season, boy, I don't see how you keep him around at that number.
Because there's a new staff in who he didn't sign with. I mean, he signed just for the money, but it's going to be one day where he's going to quit on that staff, just like he probably mailed it in this year when things didn't go well. So it was a bad signing. Somebody was going to give him that money, and Miami just figured they would be different. Instead, they were just dumber than all of them.
So far, it appears that way. All right, Ryan, let's talk a little bit about the events of last Friday. Todd Wash gets the defensive coordinator job for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It was expected to come. How comfortable are you with that being the right decision for Jacksonville?
I'm comfortable with it. You know, if you had to, you know, stack up, okay, what is the best case scenario? It would have been, okay, can you get Jim Schwartz? That obviously wasn't a fit. He came here, had the interview, wasn't offered the job. You know, they called it unorthodox the way they did interview thing. I heard about that right when it was starting. I thought it was okay. Todd Walsh is going to be on the staff no matter what, so that's why he's sitting in on me. Dwayne Walker was in those meetings too. He wasn't a cat, you know. So I think these guys, when they came in for these interviews, I think they knew what was going on, that they could be interviewing for another spot on the staff. And as soon as they brought in Marquand Manuel, I thought Todd Walsh was your leading candidate, and it turned out to be. But
in the case of Jim Schwartz, he's clearly not interviewing for a spot on the staff.
Well, I think they did that just to make sure that he wasn't the guy.
Right.
You know, okay.
Make sure there wasn't an immediate click, yeah, and why didn't we at least kick the tires on that one?
Exactly. So, I think Walsh, and I've talked to Todd a lot about this defensive line throughout the last couple of years, written some stories about it, so I sort of have a feel for what he thinks. It's going to be a much different philosophy in terms of play calling than Bob Babich. I think Todd's going to get back to what got Gus the job here, is certain pressures, certain coverages, you know, upgrade the talent. So I think they're going to be more aggressive, because the defense the last 2 years, they were afraid not to get blown out, and they still got blown out a couple of times. So that's, like, Jaguar fans are going to be impressed with Todd Walsh once the season starts.
All right, we'll find out. Let's go to the phone, 641-1010. Maurice checking in from Germany, of all places, and has a question for you, Ryan, about the draft. Maurice, you're on Jaguars Today. Thanks for the call. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Good. Great. What's up?
I'm doing all right. Wanted to ask you, Ryan, a couple questions. One of them is about the draft. It's about Noah Spence. Everyone seems to talk about this kid. I really like him, and it seems like he's doing all right in practices so far. So my question to you is about that is, obviously he's a little bit of a risk because of his character, but I honestly don't think he'll be there in the second round for us. So my question is, based on how Gus and Dave think, do you think it's very possible that we could try to trade back into the first round for a kid like him? And my other question about the salary cap is, I saw a report, I forget what website it was from, that said we had like $70 million in cap space. I don't think that's accurate, but I just need you to see if there's any truth to that, because I just don't think that's what it is. And about the auto position, I don't really know too much about the auto position. Mike and the Will spot. This kid Deion Jones kind of reminds me of Kelvin Smith a couple years ago. I know he's a little undersized, but apparently he runs a 4.440. So I just wanted to see if that would be a good fit in your estimation with the Jags. Thanks, guys.
Sure. Thanks for the call. Let's start with Noah Spence. I would agree that he won't be there at 35, 36. I think this organization is more likely to trade back into the later first round than trade down to get more picks. I think they're going to stay at 5, take the player they think is best for them. So I think getting Spence would require a trade back up in the second round, which I don't think Dave Caldwell wants to be trading away picks, unless he really thinks this guy's a player. Salary cap, it's about 50.
Right now, SpotTrack, which tracks, has the Jags at 42.5 right now. Now, they could clear a lot more than
that. Yeah, so I think when the league year starts, I think they're going to be upward of 50, because there aren't any extensions to be done. You're going to take a couple guys off the books, with the cap going up. So I think 50 is a good starting point. The auto, anybody who looks like Telvin Smith and runs like Telvin Smith is not going to be an auto, because they need that guy to be a little thicker because he plays the strong side. He needs to set the edge in the run game. And they are committed right now to Dan Scuda being in that spot. And I don't have a big problem with that, as long as he's healthy coming off the sports hernia surgery. And also have to consider when you play the auto is you're only playing him about 45% of the time tops, because the other 55% you're in nickel.
All right, there you go. Good stuff. Thank you, Maurice, for the call, and I think that hit on all the key points of your questions there. We'll talk about the Jags, like Hayes Carlin brought it up a few minutes ago, you know, a guy like Reggie Ragland, if the Jags want him, they'd likely want to trade back maybe from the fifth pick in the draft. Under what scenarios does Ryan O'Halloran see the Jags maybe being more open to entertaining a trade back from that top spot, or would they be? And we'll get into that coming up next. If you'd like to get on board, 641-1010, both the phone number and the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Question of the day today asking you, what are you most looking forward to hearing about from tomorrow's State of the Jaguars press conference? You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010 or and at Ryan O'Halloran. Might as well be 1010XL Ryan O'Halloran, but at Ryan O'Halloran as well.
Name.
It would be a long Twitter name. All right, we'll come back. More Jaguars today in a moment, live from Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars today continues here live on 1010XL. This time tomorrow, we should be hip deep in the State of the Franchise press conference, which will start at right around 11 a.m. tomorrow. I imagine Shad Khan will be prompt. I don't like to keep people waiting. Shad Khan will speak. Mark Lamping, Jaguars president, will speak. We'll get the latest to find out about, you know, what kind of revenue that they pulled in from the London game. Curious to see how they did on all their premium seating options, Ryan, which have been a big hit. The additions that they've added, they sold everything out, I think, for the everything they've added new in terms of seating options here in the time that Shad Khan's had the team. They basically sold all that stuff out. Mm-hmm. So,
but it'll be interesting to see when they start indoor practice facility construction, when it'll be ready, and also the club seat, what would be some of the prices for that.
Right. You would imagine those – so the premium seating options may go up. The expectation, your belief, is that the general bowl seating is going to remain static, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, they're having it on the other side of the stadium tomorrow because they've already started on the club level on
right.
the west side.
What are they doing? On the south end zone and the touch end?
They're doing it the east terrace.
All the east terrace.
Yeah.
It's quite a commute for me here from the Jaguars Today studios.
Well, you just do what I do and park in another lot. But
it's not the parking. You see, I got to start the show here. I got to make it. We're on the lower level west side. I got to make it to the upper level east side. I need the cat to bring the scooter out for me, maybe, ride along. I'm not
There's
sure.
A golf cart around here somewhere. But it's always good to hear, like, the numbers. And also, it'll be our first chance to talk to Shad Khan since London. And, okay, one-year extension. We sort of know why you did it. How do you feel about Gus going forward? Active in free agency. What gives you hope for the future? Et cetera, et cetera.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll hit hopefully all the highlights tomorrow, and we will endeavor to carry it live right here in this time period on 1010XL 92.5 FM. As we're heading into the break, we're talking about trading around in the NFL draft. We've seen Dave Caldwell at times move up to get a guy like Allen Robinson, Brandon Linder. He's made moves on calculated guys that he felt were the last of a certain position group that he really envisioned as a starting type guy or whatever the case may be. They're in the position where they're likely going to get a very good potential impact player with the fifth pick. Now, there's certainly scenarios out there where Laremy Tunsil goes number one, maybe a quarterback goes number two, but that Jalen Ramsey and Joey Bosa could go 3-4 to whether the team's picking there to take them or whether some other team trades in there and gets them. Uh-huh. I mean, if Ramsey or Bosa were on the board, I would right now, and I'm not in Dave Caldwell's head, but I would guess they would be very happy with their options and want to take one of those guys. Let's say the top options are gone. Is that what it would take for Dave Caldwell to entertain moving out of that spot, or would it just take an offer that blows him away?
I think more the first, that a couple of the guys they targeted are off the board, and they feel moving down 5, 6, 7 spots, they'll still get a guy they have ranked high at a position of need. Let's say you trade from 5 to 10, that means you probably picked up a second. Well, it means you now have 2 high seconds. That gives you ammo to move back into the high first. Right
or
now,
in the late first.
Late first, excuse me. Yeah. And then so right, Dave's MO through the first couple years here has been to stay pat in the first round, stay pat with that second round pick, but also do some maneuvering to get back in the second for Robinson, get back into the third for Linder, and so they add that extra sixth. That probably doesn't help you the first night, but it could help you late on the second night in the third round.
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at the defensive side, do they need help at multiple positions? Yes, but they also need game changers, right? Mm-hmm. They need difference makers, and I know Dave Caldwell has expressed that belief that that's where you find them. You find them really high in the draft, and to move out of that range, you got to feel really good about the package that's coming back your way.
Well, one hypothetical would be, let's say they sign a starting free safety in free agency. Well, technically, I mean, I still think Jalen Ramsey would be a good pick there at five, but
because you could play him at a lot of different spots.
So, but let's say they feel they can get a corner in the second round. So do you trade down in the first and
maybe,
you know,
get a linebacker?
Yeah, do some maneuvering. So a lot's going to depend on free agency. You know, and you know that what they could do, and Hayes mentioned it earlier, they could sign a premium pass rusher in free agency and draft a premium pass rusher in the first or second round. So they're still at a spot where they can go a lot of different directions, and you can't argue with that.
We are so far away from the draft, right, that we really don't know what the landscape is going to look like. But I think right now a lot of Jaguar fans would love the idea of a Jalen Ramsey and a Noah Spence type guy. And whether it's Noah Spence or anybody else, a guy that you think can come in
Von Miller,
make an impact. Well, look, he's not going to be available likely, right? I mean, I'm talking about in the draft with the first two picks of the draft.
Well, you need you get pass rushers for agency, then you can go, you can, if it was me, I'd draft all offense in draft and just say, okay, the Jaguars haven't proven they can stop anybody yet. Let's just outscore them.
So you say that, people are going to take you seriously. I mean, I don't know. Nobody knows your sense of humor, so I take it that's a complete fabrication. So anyway.
Well, that's funny. What was the original question?
I don't know.
If, you know, the linebacker stuff comes into play if you trade down in the first round, you know, what they're going to see is, let's say they stay at five. It's a hell of a long wait till 36 or 37, wherever they're going to end up picking in the second round. So a lot of those guys we're seeing this week are going to fall off the board. Let's say they stay at five and they trade back in the first. Well, this is okay. It's, you got to be bold because time's running out.
Right.
So I would be more aggressive.
Who's it running out on? Is it running out on Dave as well as Gus? Is it running out at the same pace now? Now that Gus has a one-year extension and the assistant coaches are all on the same clock, everyone's contract runs through 2017. Are they all equally tied together now? Or
I think so.
So in other words, if the Jags don't win enough games this year, Dave Caldwell's seat is equally hot as Gus Bradley's seat?
I would think so, because it's very rare for a GM after four disappointing years to, okay, then you're going to hire a coach, you're going to sign him to a four-year deal. Okay, do you give the GM a two-year extension or three-year extension? So, I mean, there's a reason why Shad feels it's important for these guys to be connected contractually. I would think it would be a clean sweep, because that's, you know, after 4 years, that should be enough time to, you know, figure out who's right and who's not for this job.
Right, but could you – I mean, there certainly can be scenarios, and this is how it plays out, where you say, hey, we feel like we have the talent here and this coaching staff's not getting enough out of them.
Well, true. Then you keep the GM. That you also have to know going in, okay, if I have the GM place, this removes a lot of candidates from the coaching spot.
Right.
So from Shad's perspective, what you have to figure out is, okay, which position gives me the best chance to win? Is it the GM or is it the head coach?
Well, here's the – what if Blake Bortles shows another year of strong development, right, cuts down that interception number maybe to around 12, right, still throws 30-plus touchdowns, because I would hope he doesn't necessarily have to throw as much next year. So maybe he throws 33 touchdowns, 12 picks, which would be strong, 4,000 yards, whatever the case may be, and he's not throwing the crippling pick sixes. And yet they still aren't winning enough games. I mean, maybe you could can't get in the head of Shad Khan.
Marty Herney got fired after drafting Cam Newton.
I understand. So I'm not saying there's one formula, but I would think that if the GM hits on the quarterback, more often than not, they're going to get a little bit of extra cachet out of that when it comes to job security.
Well, don't go 5-11 because then a clean sweep is probably necessary. If you go 7-9 and you feel like Gus is not the guy to get you over the top, well, then you maybe just do that and not both.
We touched on when you were in last Thursday on Gus Bradley, the prospect of him getting a contract extension based on the comments that Dave Caldwell made 1 week earlier. Mm-hmm. And turns out about 24 hours later, he was getting announced as having a one-year contract extension. So what is your thought now that you've had a week to process that?
I didn't get it. I don't understand it. I disagree with it. The fact that they're going to say, it's going to help free agents, it's not. It's not going to help free agency because
money helps free agency.
Yeah, you're still going to have to pay 140 cents, 150 cents on the dollar to get a guy to come to Jacksonville. What killed this team's rebuilding effort was laying down the last couple of games of the season. If this team had went 7-9, if you're a free agent getting offered more money by the Jaguars, you could look at the Jags and go, okay, 7-9, got a quarterback, maybe close to turning the corner. Now 5-11, you're lumped with everybody else who sucks in this league. So that I don't think it's going to help free agency. Shad is banking on Gus having a great year so he can extend him 2 more years and get a free fifth year at him at the same salary.
Right.
So, I mean.
Which may turn out to be a good move, yeah, if he's a guy you want to keep around.
Yeah, and my problem, you know, the extension is moot if they go 5-11 because Shad will just pay everybody to go away. You know, that's what you do. My thing with Gus is he's done everything a year too late. You know, he should hire Greg Olsen from the get-go because he was in the building, experienced coordinator for a first-time head coach. He waited 2 years to do that. Should have fired Bob Babich after year two, waited a year to do that. Will all this finally catch up with him? We'll find out this year.
Yeah, and, you wonder because when Dave Caldwell says he doesn't hold the first 2 years record against Gus, right, do you think that is a reflection of how the owner feels as well? I mean, Shad Khan has been on board and has shown a lot of patience. We've talked about how unprecedented it is for a coach in the modern NFL to get a third year after winning 7 games his first two, to get a fourth, and then to get a contract extension you're really in uncharted waters.
My issue with that statement about the 2 years responsible, nobody was holding him the first year responsible for anything.
Right.
We gave him praise for getting 4 wins out of that team after an 0-8 start. So to me, the first year was a redshirt year. I don't really hold him. I mean, the second year, they made the decision to play all those rookies. So I felt that was like almost another redshirt year. So I don't know where this talk of, well, I don't blame Gus for the first 2 years. Nobody was blaming Gus for the first 2 years.
See, but I think that's not true because I think there are – now, whether or not it matters, but Tony and I hear from guys all the time, fans, guys, gals, whatever, who say at what point does it have to start counting?
Well, this year they underachieved.
I agree with that.
In 2014, I felt they should have won more games. But I also felt they should have went with Blake from the start.
Yeah, all right, but now you're talking about a 2.5 game difference.
But so, like the comment that people run with is, "Well, I don't blame him for the first 2 years." That doesn't matter. I don't care about that anymore. Give me a plan for how this team's going to get better now.
I understand that, but when he says that, it gives the perception that we started counting Gus's tenure at this 5-11 season, right? This is what he's going to be judged on going forward. So if he takes a step to 7-9, to a lot of people out there, they'd say, not good enough. He's only won 12 games. Yeah, he's 7-9. It's still a losing record. But if you were a second-year coach who went 5-11 in your first year and 7-9 in your second year, you'd probably say, oh, you know what? I'm trending in the right direction. I probably have the job security to get that fifth year here, or at least to start that fifth year here. That's what I'm wondering. What is the expectation level? And no one will pin it down. What is the expectation level?
I'll pin it down because I said
you. But what will Dave say? What's his expectation?
Not to quote
level?
Gene Fournette. Time will tell.
Right, and that's what I'm saying though. I mean, you know,
I thought that was funny. That's one of his go-to cliches. But
I got you.
But when Shad announced the statement, like, I have high expectations. Everybody thought it was 8 wins, 9 wins, playoffs. I didn't think so. I still don't think so. If all the owner, all ownership wants to see is, are you getting better around the across the board? If they go 7-9, you know, let's say they go 9-7 and don't make the playoffs, are you going to fire everybody? No, you shouldn't, unless right. you started 9-1 and go 0-6 down the stretch. So to put a win total on this thing, I mean, if I had to pick a record for next year, I know who they're playing. I don't know what order. I'm saying they'd be lucky to get the 6 wins.
All right, let's get a call in here with Ed in Orange Park next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Ed.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, Ed.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, I got a solution. I'm from New England. Probably know me by Super Pat. I'm on TV all the time. Anyway,
never heard of it.
If you Google my name, you'll see it.
Thanks. What's your point on Jaguars Today this morning, Super Pat?
All right, well, my point is Belichick is thinking about releasing Chandler Jones. We can't take the $8 million hit, all right? And he's perfect for here, absolutely perfect for here. We've got other pass rushers, it'd be a good fit.
Well, I think they're
you think the Patriots are going to release Chandler Jones is what you're telling me.
I know they are. I know they are.
If they release him, absolutely. I'd be interested in kicking the tires on Chandler Jones. I think you're wrong, unless Bill Belichick is calling up super fans of the team and telling them the thought process why you would just outright release a talented pass rusher unless there's a lot more going on to this synthetic marijuana story that we don't know about, because he certainly didn't bench him after he went to the hospital the week of the playoffs for apparently smoking pot or synthetic marijuana. But yeah, if a guy that talented hit the market, people would be lining up to at least kick the tires on Chandler Jones. So thank you for that. We'll keep an eye out to see if Bill Belichick is releasing Pro Bowl pass rush talent anytime this offseason. Kind of doubt that's going to happen, but we'll give you full credit if he does. How about that? All right, coming back, the fan feedback question of the day is, what are you most looking forward to hearing about during the State of the Franchise press conference tomorrow? Share your thoughts with us on that on Twitter. We'll read some of those responses coming back with Ryan O'Halloran and Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, a quick addendum to the idiot who called here a minute ago.
There we go.
All right. Just because you paint your face and call yourself Super Pat doesn't mean I give a crap. Honestly. All right? If you think I was disrespectful to you to the point where you had to call Tyler back and say, I'm never calling the program again. I know Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser personally, and they would never do that to me. Quit being a whiny baby and quit calling the producer and telling him that the Patriots might trade Chandler Jones for a first-round pick and then coming on the air and saying that they're going to release Chandler Jones, and you know that because you claim to have a buddy in the front office at the Patriots. I guess that's why they've had so much success, because the front office of the Patriots leaks all their info to Super Pat, right? I believe that, Pat. Absolutely. Now, how's that for disrespect? All right? Moving on. Was that good?
Did that feel good?
It felt great. It felt absolutely fantastic. And that's why I'm sitting here. I'm like Tyler types out, here's what the guy wants to talk about. Patriots may be willing to trade Chandler Jones for a first-round pick. All right, let's entertain that possibility. Then he comes out, I know they're releasing him. I know that. They're releasing him. Well, then why'd you tell the producer that they're trading him for a first-round pick? I don't understand that, super idiot.
Well, he did call right? back, and he said, hey, I badly misspoke. They didn't even let me get a word back in. So he did try to say that, apparently. And
well,
just...
guess what? You come on the air and say something stupid, I'm going to assume you're stupid. All right? So don't blame me for
Fair
interpreting
point.
Your stupid comment as coming from a stupid person. All right? Super Pat? Jeez. Man, I gave you a chance to clarify, and you doubled down. Oh, I know they're releasing him. I know that. Oh, really? You're a super idiot. I could keep going all day.
Well, there's a difference between releasing and making him available via trade.
For a trade for a first-round right. pick. That's what I'm talking about. So he's young. He's like 25 years old, one of the best pass rushers in the league, and they're going to release him? And I know this because I'm Super Pat. Google me.
That
no,
happened.
I'm not going to Google you, you face-painting fool. All right? You think that it's because you're a face-painting Patriot fan, I'm supposed to care what you think? Super Pat? Are you kidding? Anyone, any grown man who goes around telling people that his name is Super Pat, by the way?
Did you Google him?
I did.
He's an idiot. No, Tyler sent me a picture. I'm not going to Google him. Kidding me? Idiot.
Apparently, he's a Jaguars season ticket holder as well.
Good for him. Glad he is.
Which is very strange.
You know what? Robert Kraft can come buy a whole block of tickets, too, for all I care. I hope they sell all the tickets. Doesn't mean that he's super smart, okay? You make the trip up to Foxborough. What are you doing down here, Super Pat?
Hey, we'll take Chandler Jones.
The hell
we'll
out
take
of there
him off your
quick,
hands.
Didn't you? Jeez. Seriously, they're going to release Brady. I know it because I'm Super Pat.
The views of Jaguars today do not necessarily represent the views of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, what did I say? You think the Jags care what Super Pat thinks? Great, you're a season ticket holder. That's phenomenal.
Season ticket holder, he's got his foot in the door.
Good for him. So I'm a season ticket holder, too. They should care what I think, too. And I think Super Pat's a super idiot. All right, there you have it. Again, if you want to do it for the next 5 minutes, I'll be happy
going,
to go.
Keep going, keep
I'll be happy to go. All right, today, Fan Feedback Spotlight asked you, other than Shad Khan's take on Super Pat's opinions tomorrow, what are you most hoping to hear at the State of the Franchise press conference? Yes, I think Super Pat is just a fool, that would be great, wouldn't it?
I heard this Super Pat.
I heard that Super Pat says that Chandler Jones will be released, and then when asked to clarify, he doubled down and then called back to the producer and said, oh, I misspoke. Big difference from being released and being shopped around for a first-round pick.
I immediately called Dave and said, are we in on this Chandler Jones guy?
I said, Dave, why aren't you painting your face white today? Dave? Super Dave? Oh, my goodness. This feels good. I thought it was going to be nice, Mike, all week, Tony.
Save it for next week.
I guess. I don't know.
You'll need to save it up for next week. You got those 6-hour broadcast days consecutive, so... Just be nice
It'll
to me next
fine.
Friday after you get off the air, and I don't care.
It'll
you
be
can
fine.
Be as mean as you want to Super Pat. Just be nice to me next week.
All right. I'll see what I can do about that. What are people looking forward to hearing about tomorrow?
Here's what we got from Black Dog Express. Updated plans on the waterfront, the aggressive pursuit of big-time players and decisions to trash those ridiculous helmets. From Jarrell, I want to hear about competing for championships. And from Ocho Fisho, I'm hoping to hear about the team dropping ticket prices for season ticket holders for 3 years due to awful performance.
Well, that's probably not going to happen.
No.
Yeah. Probably not. There are probably a lot of things that are not going to happen at tomorrow's press conference. Here's a few on Facebook. Theo says, when does the amphitheater work start? Josh wants to know about the proposals to improve the stadium, maybe a roof this year. Not a roof, but remember they
umbrella.
They kind of, yeah, however you would categorize that.
Yeah. I don't think that's, unless they have something up their sleeve, I don't think there'll be an update on that tomorrow.
No. More on the plans for the amphitheater. Why, says Saqib, did you give Gus Bradley one extra year? I'd just like you to tell us that, please, and on and on. But obviously a lot of stadium improvements. I am curious to see what the revenue from the London game is compared to last year in terms of a percentage of their overall local revenue stream.
And did it go up?
Right.
Yeah.
Did it go?
And then why did it go up?
Right. And I would suspect that they, you know, based on the fervent desire to extend that series, that it would have been something that they knew was trending in a good direction. You know what I mean? I think we'll probably get good news on that front, would be my guess. Ryan O'Halloran, what are you writing about for the next few days in the Florida Times Union?
I'll have coverage of that in Saturday's paper.
Get Super Pat's opinion on that.
Yeah, he's going to be a guest columnist. And then Monday I'll start Super Bowl coverage from San Francisco with 10 storylines, and I'll be out there all next week.
All right, we will see you out there next week. We'll probably hook up with you Monday, the show.
Monday at 7 a.m. Pacific.
7 a.m. Pacific, baby, all week long. We are so looking forward to getting up at about 5.
Morning drive.
Yes. What hotel are you staying in when you're out there, by the way?
I'm staying at a...
You're one of the Hiltons?
Yes.
Are you? We're in the Holiday Inn. Thanks a lot, Super Bowl.
Well, you're going to be smarter, though.
Is that right, when you sleep at a Holiday Inn?
Yeah.
It's not an express,
no?
As far as I know.
Man.
No, I know. If it was Holiday Inn Express, it would change everything. So, all right, we'll see you out there. Safe travels.
All right, we'll see you then.
We'll check you then in San Francisco. Thanks to Hayes Carline of the Florida Times Union for joining us today. As well on the broadcast, for Ryan O'Halloran and Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato.
And Super Pat.
No, not for him. For everyone else out there, though, that we like. Thank you for listening today on Jaguars Today. XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.